everybody. Welcome to the Hate Napkin. I'm your co-host, Eric, coming to you live. Well, actually, we're recorded live from the armpit of the devil's asshole, Columbia, South Carolina. This is the Hate Napkin. Well, it looks like you're perhaps at a nice little cafe there in Southeast Asia. Where are you at today, Paulie?
I am. I'm at a little cafe called Sally's on a beach in Malaysia.
Wow, in Malaysia. Does that mean bad Asia, by the way? Anyway, we're also joined by our special guest, Paul into the center square, formerly Carla from Burnt Corn, Alabama, who's recently been revealed as...
Carol.
She's just all this time, folks. She was just Carol.
It was just Carol.
But today, sad to report, you seem to be pool boyless today.
Yeah, my pool boy submitted something for the hate napkin. He said next time you take the job as a pool boy, he'll make sure the old cougar has an actual pool.
Yes, if you're going to have a pool boy, you might as well have a pool. All right, no, I am, so I
can talk about come and go.
Anything sponsored by come and go. Interpret that as you wish. Okay, we are actually joining us here for season one, episode 86. Is that it? Season one, episode 86? How have we gone this long? But folks, I have a crisis to share with you. Maybe we can help work my way out with my two hating colleagues here. I have lost my hate mojo. It's been a tough year. Been through a lot, but got through a lot. Down 87 pounds. I got on my bike today, went for a long bike ride, hoping to gather a list of things I hate, and it was just too enjoyable. The weather was nice. Life seemed good. No matter how hard I tried to hate, I just couldn't. So I got no hate in me. It's like indifference is true spite.
You could get fired for that.
I could. Well, yeah. I mean, this is sort of the raison d'être of the show is hate. And right now, I got no hate in me. So I'm gonna lean on you guys heavy. Hopefully, I can reach deep down into my anals, and ignite the hate fire. We'll see how this goes. I'm going to lean on you guys. But I do think we can reach into the come and go anal hate bag.
Indeed.
There isn't a little hate mail out there waiting for us today.
We have a nice one today. I really appreciated it. Good day, haters. I would like to share my last recent experiences with a local medical practice. Unfortunately, I have to see my doctor once a month so he can monitor a moderately minor condition. The time I spend with whatever doctor in the practice I get in the lottery that day is no more than 5 minutes. My appointments are always set for 1 p.m., so I should be able to just get in, get out, and go back to work. Never seems to be the case. I always get stuck in the waiting room for 1 to 2 hours, and when I finally get to see the doctor, they barely acknowledge I'm human. They never look up from the chart, ask me a couple of questions, and leave. I'm never looked in the eye, and certainly they barely notice I'm there at all. Doctor just mumbles something and says, see you next month. And for this, I'm charged $120. They don't even have to write me a prescription. Last week, I was engrossed in a work project, forgot what day it was, and missed my appointment. I didn't realize it until about 4 p.m., called the clinic, and the receptionist got a little puffy with me about it. Told me I was going to have to pay for my missed appointment because the doctor's time is very important. I pointed out that each month, my time is very important too. And although I was always scheduled at 1, I've yet to be able to get my 5 minutes with the doctor who never looks at me and leaves in under 1 hour and closer to 2 hours for a wait. She informed me my fee was $120 for the missed appointment. This infuriated me. I keep pretty close notes about my arrival and departure times at the clinic, and over the year calculated the number of hours of work I've missed over the last year because of their failure to be on time. Instead of a check, I submitted my own invoice, to the practice for roughly the 18 hours I've sat in the waiting room over the last year. I figured his time is no more precious than mine, so I submitted a bill for $2,160, minus the $120 for the missed appointment. My bad. I carefully noted my entry and exit times on each line item of my invoice. Friday, I went to the doctor's office for my regular visit. I arrived 15 minutes early as usual, and lo and behold, at 1:03, I was ushered into a patient room. My primary care physician came flying in the door and actually greeted me by name and asked how I'd been feeling as of late. I assured him I was doing very well, thank you. He then suggested that my condition was being maintained nicely, and unless there was any change, he didn't need to see me for 6 months. I stopped at the reception desk on the way out. She informed me that that visit would be $120. I told her she should deduct that from my outstanding credit balance on my account and left without letting her say a word. Felt pretty good. I hate that doctors feel their time is more valuable than mine. Sincerely, not sick in Nashville. Isn't that great?
Fantastic.
Oh my God, I think we've actually just found the solution to the American healthcare crisis.
You're right. Snark.
Brilliant.
Snark is the way, folks.
Indeed.
I can't, remember when Gandhi led the Great Salt, the Great Salt across India? We need to have the Great Snark March. kind of like a big pub crawl. Everybody can just get in the streets, as you pass places of business that waste your time. Everybody can just go inside and drop off invoices. This is fantastic.
Well, I thought it was a very clever solution to the problem.
Well, it also seemed to have worked.
Right? Well, it was certainly an attention getter. Apparently, the receptionist didn't get the memo, but the rest of them did.
Well, maybe that is kind of a solution to counter sort of the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry. The service industry. Everybody needs to start incorporating themselves, because as we know, corporations matter much more than people. I mean, let's not forget corporations are people. But why don't everybody needs to take that extra effort length and just incorporate themselves. And then that way the invoicing becomes easier.
You know, okay. I was thinking maybe I should just incorporate my vagina, since the government has no interest in regulating business.
I was going to be HVP LLC, Limited Liability Company, because that's my limited liability.
HPV?
Yeah.
Cold Slurs or Us.
Come and maybe, Go is taken already, so...
I think I might incorporate myself and then turn individual organs into like residual companies. I'm gonna submit an invoice from the lungs and from the renal system of Eric Bjorn.
Well, I know one of your organs is definitely a small business.
It got me there.
Maybe I should apply for an SBA loan, since I'm a female-owned business, and it is definitely a small business at my age.
Yeah, but don't you have a lot of branches, like different?
Are you referring to my subsidiaries?
Blue stock is up. All right. So thank you for that enlightening letter. I do appreciate it.
That was really great.
That's well on the way to helping me get my mojo back. Polly, you got any contributions today? Help me out. I'm just not feeling the hate.
No, that was fantastic. And I think I will put real estate management companies on the hate napkin. This is this because that letter reminded me of my experiences with real estate management companies, because in order to get something off the bill that didn't belong there, you would have to be creative. And I recall getting a bill for a stained rug, carpet cleaning, while I was still living there, so, and they didn't clean it. So I didn't know what this bill was for, especially when it was because of the leak in the roof, right? So I went to the management company with this thing, and the lady just was so rude to me because I was like a college kid at the time. So she's just like, you know, like, get out of here. Like, she just said something so rude. I don't remember what. And then I just went down to the courthouse and I filed like a small claims. I took pictures of the rug, the thing, and I did this like outrageous claim for like $4,900 that I was living in a slum hole or whatever. This was the company. This is a company where you live, Eric, and it's probably the biggest one. That old guy that owned it had to show up in court with his attorney, and they did not know who I was. And they're sitting in the courtroom while the other cases are being read, and they're discussing their strategy. Well, I'm sitting
with you.
I'm sitting next to you. They do not know I'm right next to them. So I'm just silent. I'm listening to these two go back and forth, right? And they're actually really concerned because I filed a lot of documentation. And then so then the judge goes, okay, Blake versus blah, blah, blah. I don't want to call them out because they were actually fine. So would you like to discuss before, basically give us a chance to settle outside, like, or talk outside? Which was cool. So I was like, yeah, we can step outside. So we step outside of the courtroom and they're like, basically they're like, you know, deer in headlights. They talk all this strategy, basically like, well, how much do you want? And I was like, this $80 cleaning fee off my bill. And they were like,
Hi. And
I want you to tell your receptionist that this is why you're here today.
Right, wasting their time and money.
Right, and I could have said like $1,000, $2,000. I could have said something like that, but I was like, just the bill off, like less than what it cost me to file, probably. Do you know what I mean? Like, I already paid the file and all that other stuff. But it was just like, no, you're a management company, and this is, you screw your customers over every day. And this morning was a win for the little man.
Wow, This is two great stories in a row. Yes, and really all property management companies. You know, what does it take to run a property management company? Number one, you need to have an asshole who owns the thing, right? Somebody who fits the sort of typical slumlord.
He seemed really annoyed, actually. Not at me, but at his people. Like, he was actually a nice old man, I will say.
But I kind of get the feeling like you just sort of you're born a slumlord. You know, like, it's just like, it's going to happen. Sooner or later, you're going to start a property management company. You're just one of those people. And then to start a property management company, you need to find a really disgruntled white woman in her early 30s.
No, I thought sorry. That was roofing companies. Okay.
You've shot your wad there, girl. No, she needs to be young enough to look in the mirror and go, how did it unwind so fast? Like, there was so much possibility yesterday. And that's all basically you need to put on your resume. And then that activates the slumlord. He immediately recognizes this is the only key to his company, is to hire this 30-something, you know, Karen in the making. That's all you need. So he basically goes and he rents out a 10 by 12 space, gives her a desk with kind of a clunky rattling chair, right? It's probably off about a half inch on one side. It just just to set the tone just perfect. Okay, and then like an old business phone that has that good, you know, when that hang up sound. That,
you know, I miss that a little.
Yeah, now that's that. The receiver can be slammed down and make an impact still. And that's all you need to start a property management company. Well, that and properties. So you just start buying properties. You let any Yahoo get in them. And then randomly, you know, every 14 properties, you know, you kind of got them in the Rolodex there. You just, once a month, you pull one out and you randomly bill them for something that has absolutely nothing to do with the property whatsoever. Like you might say, like, filling in the sinkhole. And then, you know, the person who gets the invoice, they're like, I'm on a sixth floor apartment. Where's the sinkhole? And then the Karen sort of, you know, after the first conversation, she goes, well, I'll have to check our records and get back to you. You know, and then so Paulie's sitting there going, but I'm being charged $1,253 to fill the sinkhole in the living room. It's an apartment on the sixth floor. And he calls her the second time and she's like, oh, hold on a second. Let me put you on hold. And then I suppose they probably have to have marimba. Marimba music really, is the back.
The only thing I probably should have described more was their faces when they look. They're like, you're Mr. Bl-. They thought I was Joe. They were like, you're Mr. I'm like, yes. They looked, because they were sitting right next to me talking about the whole thing for 10 minutes. It was so great. It was so great.
That would have been great as if you had like turned to them and be like, hey, I got an idea. I don't mean to eavesdrop. I couldn't help listening to your situation. Here's what I think you do. I think you just, I mean, you guys are wasting your time here today. Just $1,000 would probably do this. So yeah.
No, but the look on their faces when they realized it was over an $80 bill that everyone wanted to ignore.
I mean, right. I'm sure the lawyer retainer, but it probably still costs, you know, several hundred dollars.
You knew it did.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I didn't mean to harm him in any way, but I got at least got the thing off my bill.
The hate napkin is sponsored by Come and Go. So when your worries show up, come and go. I guess they sell gas. They sell gas. Is it like a gas station?
They do. Yeah.
I don't think there are that many come and goes in South Carolina. I think, is that kind of a Midwestern thing?
They're all in Iowa. There's one or two and way up in northern Missouri, almost up by the border.
Okay. So, the Hate Napkin is also sponsored by the good state of Iowa.
I don't know how
without, good it is. Without Iowa, we wouldn't have corn, I guess, right?
No, anything they else? Grow corn in other places, but most of the corn in Iowa leaves the state in the form of beef.
Wait, most things that leave Iowa leave in the form of beef?
Most of the corn leaves the state of Iowa in the form of beef.
I like that slogan.
It's comes true. Like
corn, leave like beef. Leaves is a steak?
Your butter?
Does this have to do with the cornhole?
Cornholes. No. Oh.
Come We're not going to talk about that.
Come for the cornhole, leave with a steak. Something like that. All right. I do have something for the hate napkin. It's not mind-bending. It's not going to change the world, but it is annoying to me. My background, academic, I studied archaeology. Right, that was my major. I really hate it. Anytime there's something related to dinosaurs and paleontology, and invariably some friend sends it to me and says, oh, you were an archaeology major, you'll probably like this. It's like, all right, dinosaurs have nothing to do whatsoever with archaeology and anything in the realm of Indiana Jones. They're separated by some 40 million years, okay? There is no relationship, folks, between archaeology and dinosaurs.
Well, and I didn't know that you designed houses. I mean, you could have probably helped me with my trial against the property management company.
Those are architects.
Architecture.
No wonder they did such a bad job. No wonder it was like a house from the 1800s. Okay, carry on.
Yeah. It gets a little old when people are like, oh, you're an Indiana Jones fan. You must like Jurassic Park. Like, there's just no. Can we not? Is it that hard? Maybe it is. I don't know. I get tired of it. Folks, there's a difference between archaeology, which is the study of cultures, you know, older cultures. It can go back to ancient times. It doesn't have to be. You could be an archaeologist studying, I don't know, Civil War battles in the South. I can't think of a worse pastime, but there you go. But dinosaurs. But, you know, I had to dig hard for that, folks. I just am not feeling the hate mode, though.
Well, you at least came up with a terrible pun.
There you go. Yeah.
So, well, anybody?
Yeah, on the same level as property managers, I have to put house flippers because they love to try to hire us to do work for them, but they don't want to pay anything. They want to put as little into these houses as possible. It's essentially putting lipstick on a pig, and then they make it look good. And then once these people live in these places, all of the ugly things that were hidden always manage to rear their ugly heads. I had a lady this week call me about this house that we put a roof on, and it can't pass inspection for sale. And I thought, and they bitched and bitched and bitched about the roof. And I was like, I don't understand. We put good roofs on. It was 3 years ago. I had to drive to the office, get a ladder, climb up into the loft above my old office, find the right box, and find their file. I look, and it turns out the house flipper was so cheap, he wouldn't let us roof the whole house. There was a roof, a pitched roof, and two flat roofs. He let us do one half of the house and one of the flat roofs. Well, what the inspector is bitching about is the half that we didn't do. And they're like, well, we just want you to write us a letter saying the roof's okay. And I said, the roof's not okay. I can't do that. I could lose my license if I do that. And I said, the roof's not okay. The guy who sold you the house was cheap and would only let us do half of it. And the half that they don't like is the half that we didn't do.
Right. And two roofs don't make a right.
That's right. That's correct. And so, and he was like, okay, but I just need you to write me a letter saying the roof's okay. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And I had another house flipper call me for two houses that are an hour away from here. He wants a roof on one and wouldn't put a roof on the other one, desperately needs. Told me just do the flat roof. He's like, well, if you do both of them, will you take $500 off of each one? And I said, okay. And then I gave him the price for just the flat roof. And he's like, no, they don't want to spend that. But I still want you to do the other house to take $500 off of it. And I was like, the deal was if I did both houses, I would take $500 off of each one. There are four layers of roofing material and I have to redeck the whole thing and start from scratch. It's the most expensive part of the bid. And you want me to take $500 off of something I'm not making any fucking money on. I'm not doing it.
Did this guy happen to sell Turkish carpets for a living?
I have no idea. No, what he does is sell really shitty houses to people.
Have you considered flipping the flipper?
I can take it.
Hey, flipper.
Yeah.
No, he's not a big guy. Don't worry, I can take him.
This whole time, I thought you were complaining about house slippers. And I was really confused, but now I think
of course you were, because I thought you quit drinking.
This is the punniest episode ever.
Yeah, I have quit drinking.
And but actually, they want you to do all this work for nothing and make no money, and then they'll give you six properties to look at and say, if I sign all of them, give me a price. So they'll say, okay, do this one, and then they never call you back. So basically, I've made no money. So now when they call, I'm just like, I don't want to do it.
Should we just put the Lifetime Network on the hate napkin? Or like, what caused all of this?
I actually think...
What cable channel was it? What cable channel had the house flipping shows? I don't remember.
That would be the DIY Network.
Oh.
Not the Rainbow Channel?
That's a different kind of flipping. But honestly, never buy a house from a house flipper.
Speaking of making you do a lot of work for no money, the hate napkin is brought to you by.
how do you know if it's a house flipper? Do they have like a dolphin?
They tell you.
Oh, okay.
Oh no, they'll tell you.
House flippers can't tell you. It's like a. There's nobody more excited other than whores to let you know that they're a house flipper.
Right. You know, it's like people with a standing only desk. They're like, I have a standing only desk. Or people who.
Right, exactly.
People who are vegan. I'm vegan. I'm vegan, everybody.
Actually, they'll call you trying to get a really good price, and then they'll tell you about all these other properties they're going to have you do, and then they never call you back. And
actually, this is helping me get my hate mojo back. I appreciate
good, because we had one company in particular where we were doing all this stuff, and then they were going back and remeasuring the roof and doing all this, saying, you overbilled me, and it's like, no. But they had to have the original work order. There was this whole big, long questionnaire that had to be filled out about every property. The final invoice had to be done a certain way. They all had to be scanned into a single PDF document. And if anything on that wasn't exactly correct, they wouldn't tell you if what they didn't like. They just wouldn't pay the bill. There was a point where they owed me $40,000. And I just pulled the plug and stopped working. And they were like, I got to get this done. I'm like, well, you need to pay me.
Right.
And there was this one particular Latina woman who was running this whole show. And she decided she didn't like me. So she would go to the boss and only send him messages written in Spanish. Like, I couldn't fucking read them. I monitor his email. Do you think I can't read Spanish? I can. And he finally just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. He said, you have to deal with her.
How'd you say I'm a house flipper in Spanish?
Mendejo.
Mendejo
puta maricón.
Start with the word Mendejo.
But I think we're on the verge of a great hate discovery, because there's a kind of person that is so excited to tell you what they do or something about them, like it becomes an extension of their name. Like, yeah, that's Polly the vegan, or you know, it's like, oh, they did anything about themselves without letting you know that they're X. Like, my name is Bob, and I'm a house flipper. Like nobody ever goes around and goes, I'm Sal, I own a property rental company.
Exactly.
You know, nobody's like, my name is Karen and I manage property rental. I mean, like, nobody's excited about that. But there's some people that just can't, I'm Polly and I drink.
I have to tell you, when I deal with individual families, when people call me and they want us to work for them, it's usually a really nice experience. I really love my customers. They're nice people, but these corporate giants who come in and are swooping up all this land for nothing and then selling it for an outrageous price. And then these poor people come back and they want me, either that or I get, my favorite one is when I've done a roof and they've decided that there's something they don't like about it and they hire another roofer to come in who will always tell you that you didn't do anything right. They tell the customer you didn't do anything right. So they do all this and then find out that the roofer they hired screwed it up royally and then they try to call me back. And I will go out there and I'll go, that's not my work. Our people didn't do that. Oh, well, I hired so-and-so. Oh, well, you just voided your warranty with me.
Right.
That means you can hire anybody you want to fix it now. But remember I'm not really coming back and fixing it for free.
Remember that really nice clean PDF you made me send you? Why don't you read the section on warranty?
Yeah. Whenever I send somebody an estimate, I always send a copy of our warranties that go with it. That way they can never say they weren't told.
Well, folks, it took property rental companies to bring me up out of my my hate slumber. But well, that certainly did the
still,
trick.
Somehow we were very close to the gutter. I don't know how we always get so close to the gutter.
I was going to say we went an entire episode without talking about poop, but you're right. That whole time we were in the gutter. So,
and it was a lot of puns. It was a pun-filled episode, which is always the highest form of comedy.
To which I'd like to say to our audience, I'm so sorry.
Speaking of puns, once again, we're sponsored by Come and Go. Read into that as you want. You came, now it's time for you to go. All right, folks. It's been, I'd say it's been lovely, but we all know the truth. We're the third worst, anti-penultimate worst rated podcast in the United States and here to stay. You can send us your hate letters to info@thehatenapkin.com. I guess some of our podcasts are even on the internet.
You think?
And we can't wait to shoot episode 87 next after this. So, all right, folks. Once again, you've helped us reach deep, deep, deep inside the anus of hair.